Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's T Clinic. One visit can change your life. Men's T Clinic offers a variety of men's wellness programs to help you meet your goals and keep you as strong as you've ever been. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-T today or visit mensteclinic.com. That's mensteclinic.com.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. You got me, Kevin Hagelund. You got, Corey Majors.
That's right.
And the famous Alec Medford. Gentlemen, welcome to the program. How are we doing today?
Well, it's a Friday, so that means it's a take a load off Friday, as always. And we took a load off yesterday for a little bit, so I'm excited about that as well. And so I think things are going really well right now. I'm really excited.
So let me ask you a quick non-sports question, and then we'll dive into the stars. I guess I should probably just ask my basic question to start. Besides Miko, who do you think is...
Pete DeBoer.
Who is your key player for game two tonight?
Oh, okay.
So it's not
Pete Tom Gagliardi.
And if you want to give predictions as well. But my question, I got logged in just fine. But do you ever log into something and it says it's incorrect and then you want to get into an argument with the computer program? Because you're like, no, I gave you the right password. You're messing up.
You don't know how things work. And then you look and caps lock's on and you're like, oh, crap. Well, this changes everything.
Is that a relatable? Do people do that? Or they're just like, I probably typed it in wrong, not thinking, I got it right, computer. Mm-hmm. You are incorrect.
You ever apologize to the computer after you're wrong?
Yes.
Whenever it's user error?
Yes, I have.
Okay. It's a computer and it doesn't hear you. Well.
It hears you. Have you ever seen something that you had a conversation about and all of a sudden it's on your targeted ads? It hears you.
Eva Longoria. Yeah. I mentioned her and all of a sudden my Instagram's full of Eva Longoria.
I never
look up Livy Dunn or I never look like mention her and all my Facebook. I'm like, why? Why are they always trying to push Livy? I was told that she was overrated. And I'm like, I don't know if I believe that. But even
if that shop's listening right now, you know who you are.
So, Kevin, I understand. Sometimes there's user error. Sometimes it's on the computer.
From the 817, Kevin, can we please discuss your commercial tease yesterday? Did you say possible? Yes. Yes, I did. We are going to do a dog segment today in about an hour or so.
I really hope I don't come across as not caring about dogs in this. I loved my dog, and I'm still kind of just beat up by the fact that I lost him. So that's where I stand on this. That's why I might sound a little heartless. There is part of me, though, in this conversation that we'll get into today, Kevin, that is kind of like, well, maybe I can do my part and help animals, Dallas Animal Services, by taking one out.
Yeah.
And so that somebody else has another space. And like, that's part of what I got to kind of tell myself is I'm doing something to help out more than it's just satisfying myself. Right now.
No, I get that for sure. In the meantime, go ahead and give me cut number 6 because we need to talk about Stars game 2 tonight.
Duchesne, nice job. Sends it across. Ranton in front. Score! Ranton in again. It's a hat trick in Winnipeg.
All right, so Mikko Rantanen is in the midst of a heroic hockey playoff run, the likes of which we have literally never seen. I mean for the Stars. I mean for anybody. Never seen anything like it. So I get it if you're like, hey, Mikko just score 4 more goals or 3 more goals tonight, then we'll be in business. I hear you. But outside of him, who is your key player for game 2 tonight? 877-881-1053, Franklin Injury Attorney text line.
Do you have one that you're like keying in on?
Yes, and you might think that this answer is preposterous. I think it's Jason Robertson.
Okay.
Now,
that's expecting a lot.
Jason, I know, and that's why I thought you might think it's preposterous. Jason Robertson looked off in his return to the ice, which makes sense. You miss an entire playoff series. You miss, 3 weeks, give or take. And so he looked a little off, but I think he's going to remind people why he's such an intricate part of this team. And I think he's going to put in a point tonight that is going to change the flow of the game.
Yeah.
And hopefully that change of the flow means they win.
Yeah, I want to try to avoid that front, that first line, because Roope is the first person that comes to mind, but they're all on that line
for
together,
sure.
And they're the ones that have been doing the scoring for this team. So I want to kind of avoid that altogether because they have been the one that's kind of carried the load here. So I will go down to Matt Duchene. And Matt Duchene, Tyler Seguin, Jamie Benn's line. And Duchene, I when the puck's on his stick, I feel very comfortable because the dude can skate, man. Like that dude, his ability to stop, cut, move around, you know, all of his skills are there, and I just want to see one finally get through for him. Because he seems like, I'm getting in here and I'm waiting for the rest of my guys to get in here with me, and now I need to serve somebody up. And him and Marchment during the regular season, they had some sort of connection, and so far I haven't seen that connection grow with Ben and Seguin, but I want to see that at some point. So Matt Duchene, I'd like to see a couple of assists from him tonight, and then Jamie Benn, hopefully the mistakes are minimized from what happened in game one. But yeah, it's Matt Duchene for me.
Alec, who is your key player for tonight besides Mikko?
I'm going to go with, I'm tied between two. I think Sam Steele and Jake Oettinger are up there for me.
Will you tell me why Sam Steele? Because I'm really intrigued by that, especially given the way that game one played out.
There's a lot of knowns on this team for Stars fans. We know what we can typically expect from a Jake Oettinger. We know, obviously, with Mikko Rantanen just scorching the entire earth, we kind of know what we're going to get outside of the top lines. But Sam Steele, I think the energy that he brings, I think he's just one of those guys that at, 27 years old, he seems like he's in the right place at the right time almost every time.
Yeah,
I think the hockey IQ is outstanding on Sam Steele, and I think that he's just one of those underappreciated pieces that whenever this series ends, hopefully in a victory, he's going to be one of those silver linings that after we give our flowers to Mikko and Otter and DeBoer, we're going to say, hey, that guy, we didn't know we needed him, but we needed him.
I don't know.
His name was called a lot in the last game.
And part of the reason for that is they double shifted up Mikko as well. And I was going to say, I don't know if you like consider that a reward. It kind of felt like a reward. They're like, hey, we're just going to add just like a little something extra right there. And even the Winnipeg coach was kind of lamenting the just overwhelming depth of the forwards for the Stars. And then he's like, and then if you're going to double shift him, like, you know, I thought we did a really good job against the first line. And he was like, but guess what?
Mm-hmm.
Then he was coming at us again and we were screwed. And that's why I was intrigued by that, because he saw a lot of run with Sam Steele.
From the 903, Roope Hintz has been on the brink of breaking out here lately. And I agree. There have been two. Has he been the one on both power plays? He's gotten the penalty that ended up evening it out in the last two series now. I believe so. Maybe it was Marchment, but he had it in the last game. And I was like, dadgummit. But he's playing with a different than I've ever seen. He's playing with a different tenacity. And I say that being, he looks like he's being the enforcer for Rantanen, so it takes that off of Rantanen's plate. And I think that's a good quality. Roope's always been that dude that I was like, he's the fastest dude on the ice. Like, that dude can absolutely fly when he's got the puck or when he's chasing one down. But yes, I agree with that person. I think he's right there on the brink of really having one of those special games. But that being said, Rantanen keeps having the special games.
Yeah.
And everybody on the line's fine with it. Everybody on the team is happy with it too.
And the one special game that Roope did have, it got lost in the shuffle because the Stars lost that game to Colorado, mm-hmm. when he also had 4 points in the same period to tie the NHL record. I have seen multiple people say Jake Oettinger, and I am not here to dispute that whatsoever. That makes a lot of sense. If Otter has another big game, not only do I think it will be big in terms of, like, logically, if your goalie plays well, you got to feel like your team's probably doing pretty well. If Hellebuck doesn't, I wonder if that kind of digs in the mental vibe just a little bit more, because we've seen in the regular season, nothing can stop Connor Hellebuyck. But like in the playoffs, it's kind of like what you would see time and again with Peyton Manning, where you're like, he's the best quarterback in the regular. There's no question about it.
He keeps getting the wrong matchup.
Yeah, and then you would get to the playoffs and you're like, oh, man, this Brady guy seems to be maybe better than him. And
when in reality, it was the defense of Bill Belichick that had figured out Peyton.
And so, and that could be the same case that you're looking at. But like when your backup from Team USA in the Four Nations is going to outplay you and then outplay you again, and potentially your team is in an 0-2 hole, having lost both of the home games, I could see how that would take a huge mental toll.
From the 817, I really wish I knew what you guys were talking about. And I just want to let you know, right now, in this time, and Kevin, we've done this segment multiple times, this is the best.
Yes.
This is the best. You don't even have to know what you're watching. Just start watching it. Or just get involved with it somehow, because these moments when these games are being played and the wins and losses, the highs of each game in the round, this is the best time to be a fan of your team.
Yeah.
And so if you don't know what we're talking about, hop in on it right now. And the rest of this run, I mean, I think this run's going to be pretty long. So you have some time to be invested in this. This is the best time to be a fan of any sports team that you're following, is whenever you're having these types of moments. You have a team that is surging, looking like it could be a champion, and you believe they can be a champion. They have the talent to do it. They're up against really tough opponents, too, so you know the quality of play is at its highest. But this is the best time right now. I love it.
I know. I agree with all of that. From the 430, I'm going with my birthday twin, Essa Lindell, to go off tonight. I mean, look, it's weird to say this, but it might be tough to have a bigger impact than he had in game one, where you're like, ooh, that could be the game tire. Nope. And so I would love to see that. But
Thomas Harley's getting a lot of play here, Kevin.
That's where it is. And that was my next choice. And I love that from the 903. Give me Thomas Harley for 500 from the 817. It's Harley. He's the D-man on the power play. And this is fair. He needs to do a better job of what should be Miro's spot on the power play. He's had some mistakes, coughed up a couple of goals in the first round. From the 817, Thomas Harley is going to show why he's already a top 10 defenseman. Now, I'm not ready to say that just because of some of the struggles that you've seen, but I think the potential is 1,000,000% there for that to be the case. I thought about Thomas Harley, but I was like, man, I want this to be the game where Jason Robertson is like, allow me to reintroduce myself, you know?
Oh, I would love that, man.
But Thomas Harley is a very worthy selection as well.
Yeah, I will give Robertson credit for the first game that he was back for. And the credit is he went out there and tried to be physical. He missed a couple times. Like there were a couple times he hit the wall instead of the person.
Yeah.
And that's fine. He still was in the mix and he was battling. And that was something that's going to help his conditioning get up by the time they get to the next round, I think, or by the end of this series. But he went out there instead of just being like, man, I got to see how things are. He was like, I'm going full speed until I can't. And I really appreciated what he was given in the game the other night. As far as Hellebuck's concerned, Kevin, I was listening to Sean and RJ and Bobby and Peyton's show this morning. And they had a guest on. I'm sorry I didn't hear. His name was Mitchell. And I'm sorry I didn't hear everything else. But he was saying that Hellebuyck is like, he's a really good guy off the ice, you know, likes to fish and stuff like that.
But
in the series against the Blues, he said, I have to be better. And then he pointed out the Blues series had like 8,000 hits. Like it was one of those that was just ridiculously physical. And I wonder if the Jets came in and were like, I know they were physical. Stars matched their physicality. But if they looked at it and went, hey, man, the Stars aren't typically a truly physical team, we don't have to do that too. Like what we just did with the Blues, we don't have to wear ourselves out. So I wonder if this will be more of a finesse series, or if it's going to get as chippy as it started to get with Colorado.
Yeah, I definitely think it is, but that could kind of pivot with tonight's game as well.
Sure.
Because if you take a 2-0 lead, hopefully you can go back to Dallas and be like, hey, let's really put the boots to them and finish it off. But if it starts to drag on, Winnipeg is a very physical team.
Granlund, I talk about Granlund all the time. I love what he's doing, fighting in the corners. I love, like, that dude looks free, too, with Roope and Rantanen on the ice. He looks very free to do, hey, I know I'm not a star, but I'm a really good player, and I can take shots when I want to because I know what we're trying to accomplish here. Somebody asked, though, if Ben's a liability. I don't believe he's a liability. He did have a play that
he was in game one.
I also have seen in a couple of other games him be like a big reason the physicality's happening.
Yeah.
So I think his leadership still is the captain. They all love him. They all adore him. And he's going to, I don't think he's going to go out after that game and give that kind of performance again.
And the 252, wherever that is, when is Miro coming back? Look, I'm to the point where I have no idea. If Pete DeBoer said I'm 98% sure he's playing tonight, I still would not be convinced. Because remember, DeBoer told us he was going to play in the first round, and then he didn't. And then it looked like he said, hey, both him and Robo are going to play in the second round. And then Robo came back before Miro, which I don't think any of us anticipated. I certainly didn't. So I have no idea. Could be tonight, could be in 3 weeks.
I still think I think there's still two things. The amount of time that Miro typically plays is like the whole game. Yeah. You know, like he plays so much on the ice. And I think Boach said this about Josh Smith. Sometimes I got to hold back on how much I use him. And whenever you have a Miro, you're like, keep putting him out there. Keep going out there. And I think that they're just trying to make sure that his conditioning is up so that he doesn't have a weak spot in his injury. You know, if you don't want to risk that injury again. If you're not conditioned well enough, you'll do things that your body shouldn't be doing, and it could risk the injury again. So I think they're just being as cautious as possible, but I think we'll see him before this thing's up.
I have to admit, I was a little surprised that this name didn't come up more, but now I've seen it pop up a couple of times from the 469 and from the 972, Wyatt.
Wyatt
should take advantage of his matchups. And that is one thing. I think against Winnipeg, logically, you have seen some potential mismatches out there on the ice.
Zubov will not play tonight. He has been scratched.
Like Sergei Zubov? Yeah, I guess not. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, we will talk with Arlington Renegades head coach and NCAA champion Bob Stoops and catch you up on the rest of the NHL and NBA playoffs. All of it next right here on The Fan. KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Right now, we bring to you Arlington Renegades head coach, NCAA national champion. You know who he is. It is Bob Stoops. Good morning, sir.
Hey, great to be with you guys. Great to be here down in Arlington and in Dallas.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, y'all's game coming up against Michigan, I know we need to talk about that, but I was hoping you could kind of reflect on the last two games for us, because you guys got off to a really strong start at 3-1. Is there anything that you've noticed in the last couple of games that you're like, well, obviously we have got to tighten that up?
Yeah, as much as anything, a lot of self-inflicted wounds, too many penalties, putting ourselves in long yardage, difficult situations, four turnovers last week. You know, the football gods will never allow you to win with 11 penalties and four turnovers. So we got to take care of our business and play by the rules and not have penalties and take care of the football.
Coach Stoops, I've been a fan of Bob Stoops for quite some time. And
well, thank you. Yeah,
and all this time, I've been kind of trying to figure out your philosophy on offense and defense. You've always had some really stout defense with fast linebackers, and your offenses have always kind of been, hey, man, we look balanced, but guess what? Our pass is going to hurt you. So what is that offensive philosophy for you, and how does that counter with your defense?
Yeah, it's we always – I don't think it's up. You ever want to be just totally 50-50 balanced. To me, that doesn't mean balanced. What balanced means to me on offense is you're effective either way, running the football or throwing the football. And it may be 70-30, you know, pass to run. But when we do run it, it's quality runs. You know, so to me, that's when you're at your best, when you can do both. And then defensively, I guess I'd say my philosophy's always been control and stop the run first. And if somebody's able to beat you up and run the football consistently on you, I don't think there's anything more demoralizing to a defense than that. So, you know, control the run game and don't give up big plays.
And speaking of that run game, you've had, I mean, all this time, Quentin Griffin, Adrian Peterson, mix. You have all these different, a variety of different running backs. None of them have really been the same. What's the thing you're looking for out of that running back? Is it different each year?
That's a good observation. Definitely, everybody, You know, you can run the football or be effective different ways. Some guys have, you know, have all the shifty moves, you know, like Quentin Griffin just in the hole. And then you get a guy like Adrian Peterson that you need to put 8 yards back in back of the quarterback and let him come downhill with his power and his speed. So everybody's a little bit different. And to me, you do your best to play to their strengths. You know, that was for sure. Like when we got Adrian, we put our quarterback under center more than we usually would because of his ability to come downhill and run the football.
You were talking about the defensive line and how kind of discouraging it can be if you give up a lot of rushing yards. Can I pass that along to the other football team that plays in Arlington? Because sometimes they still struggle with that.
Oh, I'm not going to get into that. That's for you guys to do.
Now, we've been talking about this quite a lot, and I'm curious because I love your perspective and how you can talk about, you know, obviously the Renegades and college football and kind of bounce all around. What are your thoughts about some of the even newer developments we've seen with NIL in terms of, like, you sort of saw the holdout at Tennessee and moving to UCLA? My main question is, how as a coach would you react to things like that in a ever-changing landscape?
Well, I think that's the thing. You ever-changing. You've got to be able to adapt to whatever your situation and whatever the rules are that you're playing by. And to me, I think what will come will be more contracts. When you start having contracts, now people are going to be held to account. In other words, if you're going to leave, you're going to have to pay money back. If you're, you know, on and on, you know, none of us operate in the professional world as a coach or whatever without contracts. And in the NFL, there's contracts and you have to live up to those contracts or there's consequences. So I believe that's coming.
With your receivers, Winstead, Canella, this is a fun group that you're working with here. How's Perez handling, like, making sure all those guys are fed?
Yeah, it's not easy, but you're correct though. We have an incredible receiving group. We really do, along with tight ends, like you said, Sal Canella with that group. So, you know, it's just trying to distribute the ball everywhere, and there's never one particular guy that you're. Well, yeah, there, it starts with one particular guy that you're looking to. But, you know, depending on what the defense does, you got your second, third and fourth read. And so that's what you have to do is just, you know, put the ball where you got the open space.
Well, go ahead.
I was kind of curious. Draft just happened. And when you had guys go off after they were drafted, maybe they didn't get drafted in the round they expected they were going to be. Did you call guys afterwards and give them talks about preparing for the next level? And do you still do that?
Oh, not really. I mean, if I called them, it would be to congratulate them and their families and their parents, you know, on whatever, you know, if you're drafted, whatever position or whatever round it may be, it's a positive thing. Take advantage of the opportunity. And if I ever called, it was more to just congratulate and wish them the best, and they know I'm always available if I can help them anyway.
Now, the game tomorrow, can you walk us through what kind of challenges Michigan presents? But also, it's Fan Appreciation Day.
Yes, it is.
And so, do you have a message for all the Renegades fans out there?
Yeah, come on out and see us. It's going to be a beautiful day. 12 noon, we play Michigan right here at Choctaw Stadium in Arlington, the old Globe Life or the old Rangers Stadium. Fan Appreciation Day, all children 12 and under get in free. For you guys that are of age, $2 beers. You
okay.
Can't beat that.
Nope.
And Renegade recess after the game. Kids are allowed to run around the field and interact and say hi to the players that are still around. So it's a fun day. It's perfect outside in the 70s. And anyway, so it's a fun experience in the stadium.
Now, UFL.com, Ticketmaster.com, you can find tickets off of both of those platforms if you want to go to the game tomorrow. Coach, thank you very, very much for catching up with us.
I appreciate you guys having me on and promoting the Renegades.
Absolutely.
Sure.
Great day. Go there get Renegades. Go.
Bob Stoops right here on 105.3 The Fan. That is very, very cool.
I like hearing, like, the conversation of philosophy from each. Like I even like with Marcus Semien, what's your approach when you get up to the plate? I want to know what these guys are trying to build, what they're thinking. And when it comes to him, I liked hearing that. I don't think you have to be 50-50. I don't want to be because...
Yeah, he was really adamant about that.
Yeah, he has a different balance that he's looking for. And, man, hearing him say, with Adrian Peterson, you line him up 8 yards and give him somewhere to go, man. I love hearing those conversations, too.
And the team has been tremendous at home thus far this season. So, hopefully, get back into the win column tomorrow. In the meantime... I would like to take the opportunity, if we can, to catch you guys up on the rest of the NBA and the NHL playoffs. Which league would you like to start with?
Let's go with the NBA, Kevin, because I'll be quite honest. I'm still out on the NBA except for the Knicks.
Oh, well.
The Knicks are the team I'm pulling for right now.
Okay, give me cut number 4 as Prestonwood Christian Academy alum. Corey just said I'm not rooting for you.
The 3-ball from Jimmy. No, Ant's got the rebound. Hit ahead. Randall's ahead of the field. Breakaway. Two-handed slam. Dunk. The Wolves now lead by 21 with just over 4 minutes left.
Good now, him, dude. Neither one of the Timberwolves or Warriors games have been particularly competitive.
Not at all.
Now, they've gone to either side. And, of course, we got the news yesterday that we brought up that in addition to missing last night's game, Steph Curry will miss at least game 3 and game 4 with his grade 1 hamstring strain. So we'll see. I mean, you have to imagine that will have a pretty big impact on the series.
Man, you know, I know you mentioned Julius Randle there, Prestonwood Christian Academy alum. What an interesting player he is with his skill set.
Yeah.
To be the kind of guy, like, he can do so much physically down low. He can shoot. He puts points in the bucket, but then he's got 11 assists. You know, in a game. Now, the Warriors are a unique team with their size and what they're working with, too. But Julius Randle is a very unique player, and playing alongside Anthony Edwards is a very interesting combo. I don't know if you saw the video they played after they won the first series. But the video,
I don't think I did.
It was a video, and it kind of was like a movie trailers, and it was starring Anthony Edwards, and then the next one was the bully, Julius Randle. And I was like, oh, man, this is fun.
Look, we've talked about this. I covered him in high school. The first time I ever saw him in a game, he was in part running the point, and he was already really tall and a freshman. I was like, good Lord, is this happening? So I have to admit, I definitely have some rooting interest for the Timberwolves because of him. But you said you're rooting for the Knicks. Is this a Brunson thing? Is this a maybe if a big-time franchise in a league that never wins does win, you think it can happen in the NFL?
Dang, dude, are you taking a shot at
at the Cowboys.
This is the second shot in this segment you've taken at them.
Well,
they haven't even played a game this year.
I think Bob Stoops was smart to be like, I'm going to stay out of that. Uh-huh. But you heard what he said. You're giving up run yardage. That can be very demoralizing.
What's your point?
I just told you my point.
I feel like that tone has happened on air a couple times.
Yes.
Hopefully this. I really hope this season's fun. You know, I hope the season's fun and Jerry has fun with us. I decided the pain of Luka being traded away in the way that they did. And I already kind of decided I was going to keep track of Jalen Brunson's career after he left. So that's why I'm really pulling for Jalen Brunson. He was great on our show. You know, we'd have him on the show. He Call of Duty. He loves Call of Duty.
Yeah.
Although it looks like he's more focused on basketball than Kyler is sometimes.
Well, guess what? It's working out pretty well for him.
And the Celtics did take us down last year in the finals. Also have been really snotty all season long about how great they are. And here we are with 260 team wins that are down to, it's like I'm pulling for him to knock off the Celtics.
You know, what's amazing is Vegas is like, hey, I just want to give you a heads up. I'm not buying it. So both Indiana and New York they'll be the home teams. Cleveland favored by 4.5, Boston 5.5. And it's so crazy because, Alec, I don't know if you felt this way. It felt like the last half of the season was an inevitable march to Cleveland against Boston in the Eastern Conference Finals. And 92% of teams that are up 2-0 in a basketball series win. Doesn't mean that's what will happen here, but we could be on the brink of a Pacers-Knicks Eastern Conference Final that I feel like nobody was expecting.
Nobody was expecting it, and people are going to hate on it. It's going to feel like the Rangers World Series all over again. Oh, but the ratings, but the ratings. I'm not a TV exec. I don't care about the ratings or the general interest. It interests me when something I don't expect happens. Yeah. So I'm intrigued, and I'm rooting for that. One, because I love Jalen Brunson, but two, I just love the unexpected, and I am a true fan of the Cinderella stories, so why not? I totally agree that nobody saw this coming, but I think it's good for the game. I like it.
Now, on the NHL front, I think we all need to start having a different rooting interest.
Oh.
Go ahead and give me cut number 5, and we need to be rooting against this team.
Perry now to McDavid with room, gets in over the line, across, Draisaitl, scores! Leon Draisaitl ends the game in overtime! 5-4, Oilers win, and they're up 2-0 in this second round series!
Now, obviously, everything is all about wanting the Stars to win and advance. And if you advance, I'll accept either opponent. But I went into that other series with Vegas and Edmonton being like, either way, I don't know if I have a strong preference. Now, I desperately hope that Vegas turns it on and gets back into it. Because you just heard that from Draisaitl. You can make an argument that in Draisaitl and certainly in McDavid, they have two of the top 4, maybe 5 players in all of hockey. And holy crap, have they turned it up. I do not want to see Edmonton just roll through this series because they are terrifying. They have won 6 playoff games in a row.
You're scared of Edmonton.
Yes,
is what you're saying.
I am. And I know you're going to tell me don't be scared.
You're scared
I'm
of Connor McDavid.
Mark it down. Yes, okay, for sure. 10:35. Connor McDavid is better than Nathan MacKinnon. He struck fear in me. This team is looking on fire. I need that to slow down.
Okay. All right.
I am scared.
Let me, can I help you a little bit?
Please.
I kind of want to face them.
Oh, my God.
Who did we lose to last year in the
Edmonton.
And what happened?
But the year before you lost to Vegas?
Don't worry about that. I don't want to play Vegas because there's too much anger involved. Like, really too much.
Okay.
I want to punch Vegas. Like, that's how I want to fly to the city, get off the plane, punch the whole city, and then go back home. That's how I feel about
okay.
it.
Okay.
Every single slot machine, just every one of them. That's how I hate the Vegas Knights. I really do. With Edmonton, I have a lot of respect for Connor McDavid. Sure. And that series, what ended up happening was you saw the Stars have depth. The Stars have a deep roster.
Yes.
You saw that in the series against Edmonton. But they were missing one thing. They were missing the dude that could just say, ready? Let's go. And Connor McDavid was that dude for them.
Yeah.
How do we stop him? I don't know. Well, we didn't have anybody to match it.
Yeah.
You didn't have any, like, you're like, all right, Jason Robertson, it's your time. And he's like, no, it's not. And you're like, okay, Jamie Benn, let's relive this once more. And he's like, Miko is the difference, Kevin. You have a guy on your team that can lead your team, and you have as deep, if not a deeper roster, that it was combative against
them. I agree.
So I'm saying bring it on with the Oilers, because I hate Vegas so much. The passion will probably be too much, and I might cuss on radio. But with the Oilers, I look forward to that matchup, because two elite goal-scoring stars against each other with a team that I think is the better team in the Stars.
I hear what you're saying. This goes back to our I want to play the best versus the path of least resistance. I want that series to go 7 games and Vegas wins in triple overtime off the dumbest goal that you luckiest goal that you've ever seen. And you're like, great, we get to play them. We just won in 5 games. We've been hanging out, getting ready. Miro's ready. Like, I hear you.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't want that, because then it's going to be like, oh, my God, Connor McDavid scored 8 points somehow. And you're like, yeah.
Yeah. I get it, dude. I get it. And that is one of the intrigues of being in this round where we are right now.
Can we lose a game or two?
Oh, for sure.
Okay.
No, I want it to go
okay.
7. Let's get
okay.
it. Let it go 7 in overtime in every game.
Okay.
Like, I'm perfectly fine with that. And you know what? Wear his ass out, all right? I want McDavid to be exhausted. I want Draisaitl to be like, I don't even want to play hockey anymore. I want that to be done at the end of this series.
If we do play the Stars play the Oilers in the Western Conference Final, we should redo the David McDavid commercial, right?
Why?
For Connor McDavid.
Tell me how we redo the commercial first. Do you have a shot at him, or...
We'll just have to wait and see if that happens. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, it's time for Baseball Nuggets, the controversy and maybe confusion with Rafael Devers. Next on The Fan.
3-0 lead. He swings here and hits one toward the monster. Langford going back. He stops to look up, and it's out of here. Into the first row of seats just above the green monster and straightaway left. Devers, the opposite field shot, his sixth home run of the year.
KNC Masterpiece back here on 105.3 The Fan, where, hey, guess what? Our new hitting coach isn't working anymore.
Oh.
I'm just kidding. It's
time to move on.
It was one game.
It's time to move on.
It's all relaxed. But I feel like for a lot of Rangers fans, this is a game that it kind of seems like we've already seen this game several times this year. But I want to talk about the person who hit that home run. As right now, brought to you by Reliant Air Conditioning, gimmick-free AC repair and replacement. It's time for Baseball Nuggets with Mike Vasek. I'm just kidding. He's okay. Not here.
Holy crap. I was like, what's happening? My friend Mike.
Is that Stone Cold music?
Yeah. That is the glass right there. That
if he ever was going to come out, it would not be after this game.
No.
All right. Like, you heard him in the post game.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, great. We need
he
to
was
do
probably
better.
Furious.
Yeah, I know.
Josh Young didn't have a hit and only
okay.
a walk.
Okay. All right. Let's not turn this into Josh Young dig season.
Dude, Barnhart had 3 hits. Yeah. All I'm saying is if Josh Young was on base 3 times, he might have scored. He's right in front. He's 2 batters in front of Barnhart.
Mm-hmm.
When you got somebody that's on fire, you got to get on base for him.
Do you know
Dustin Harris.
Do you know that that means that Tucker Barnhart by himself had more hits than the rest of the team
yes.
combined?
Josh Smith, uno. Obviously playing shortstop. He wasn't, you know, he'd been playing first for a couple of days. Had that he got stepped on at first base. Wyatt Langford, he's been carrying the team for so long that he needed a little bit of a break. Where's Jock?
They
Where's
walked Adolis? Him like every time.
Where's Simeon? Yeah, Jock did get walked a lot. Adolis, Simeon, Evan. Evan, dude, after game one, where you been, bro? Come on, man. So, yeah.
This only game. Okay.
Wait, hold on. He had. Right. Is he 2 games in now or 1 game in?
No, he is 2 games in.
Yeah, and since then, it's not very good. Bless you, Kevin.
Now, let's talk about Rafael Devers, because there's controversy, but then there's also controversy about the controversy.
Ooh, I like it.
Which I feel like we've seen more and more in our society as the years have gone by.
Controversy about controversy?
Yeah. And so, let's go to ESPN.
All right.
They say
gotta get on a plane to Bristol.
That Rafael Devers said, I know I'm a ball player, but at the same time, they can't expect me to play every single position out there. In spring training, they talked to me and basically told me to put my glove away. I wasn't going to play another position other than DH. Right now, I don't think it would be an appropriate decision by them to ask me to play another decision. Position. Excuse me. I don't know why I said that. Unless you think that's not how the translation went.
Oh, no. Can I analyze that translation real quick?
Yeah. Makes it feel like this is problematic.
Josh Smith does not have a big league, you know, big time contract. He's doesn't even have a role on this team. He will say yes to anything they ask him to do. Michael Young was an ultimate team player. And would say yes to any position move possible. Devers was like, I've been playing third base forever. Like, this is my... And I don't know how to play first base. Can I get some practice time is what I believe he needs.
Yeah.
So, all right. So, I'm going to analyze that and think the same way. Yes, I think it would be inappropriate to ask him to do that after you told him he's just a hitter and not going to be playing in the field.
Now, kind of to go along with that, there are other translations that are like, no. I'm going to give you... literally what he said, and then I'll translate it for you. And here it goes. I know that I'm a player from Devers, but I can't play all the positions either. I can't adapt like any other player to a different position. If I play first, they know I won't play at once or right away. So that totally changes the idea of what he says from going like, I'm not going to do that, to it's going to take me a minute.
That makes a lot more sense.
And if you think that's just a sympathetic translation, let me give you more of that same person's translation that feels less sympathetic from Rafael Devers, which is why I think it's on the level. I don't think he translated all the things and was like, I love the Red Sox the most and I'll do whatever. Here's the next part.
Hold on. Are you saying then that he is a Boston Red Sox hired translator and he is translating incorrectly to make Devers look bad
there
so that they can move on from him and be okay?
Numerous sources that think that not only that maybe it's not that, that they're just too cheap to get a better translator and they probably should be doing that. Here's another part of his quote though. But that is not a very good decision as it came to me. I don't know why it was made now. If they remove me from a position that I was not going to play my position anymore, it is something like nonsense to ask me to play another position again. So this is the different translation where he's like, well, I'm not going to play it at once, but like insinuating that he can. But he still went on to say, but I think this is a nonsensical decision.
They need a better first. He's like, they probably need a better first baseman. He's like, you can imagine me getting over. He's going to get blamed and goaded.
Yeah.
And goaded in the bad way for so many things. If he goes over there and doesn't know how to play the position, has a Josh Smith moment, gets stepped on at first base, injures somebody else, and ends up costing the team. Go listen. Again, I just pointed out Michael Young, ultimate team player. However, and I know they were that San Francisco was a buzzsaw. Michael Young will openly admit that he struggled at third base during the World Series. There were some plays that he knows he should have had, and we all agree, like we saw it. And so, hey, that position, I don't want to be the GOAT in that moment whenever it's not my what I'm really used to. So I understand where he's coming from here. I think the Red Sox are trying to set him up to fail, dude, so they can move on from him. But don't you want him to, don't you want to set him up for as much success? Trade him at high value instead of trade him at low?
Yeah. Can he hit the ball? Trade him here.
Yes.
Let's go ahead and make that happen.
Currently, he has, Kevin, his best was 19. He had a 916 OPS. He's at 834 right now. He's at 871 last year. So he's hitting 255. He's got six home runs. He's a hitter, dude. And that's what he has been. So, yeah, if you want to swap, you want to swap him and Jock. Is that what you're saying?
I don't know why you're going after him particularly today.
Oh, you want to swap him and Young?
He had three walks yesterday.
Devers plays third? Is that what you're trying to say?
I don't know if I want Devers out in the field either. So, look, I am not here to argue for Rafael Devers getting a position in the field.
Okay.
All right? I want him in the lineup. Let's talk about the Detroit Tigers. Remember yesterday we talked about how they were really heating up and the Colorado Rockies are just the worst freaking team maybe in the history of baseball. So the Tigers have won seven of their last eight. Did you see how the doubleheader played out with Colorado?
I did not.
Detroit won 10-2 and then 11-1 to complete the day with a robust score of 21-3. I know these were still two different games, but man, that's got to be a bummer for the Rockies.
Are you embarrassed?
Yes, they should be embarrassed. And the Tigers just said, that's what we do.
Mm-hmm. Because they're very good right now. They are.
Yes, absolutely.
Tigers are on a roll.
For the Tigers, this is the first time the Tigers have won by 8-plus runs in both ends of a doubleheader since 1953.
Really?
Now, I realize that the doubleheader has like clearly been downplayed.
But there was a time.
Yeah. The 50s, there were still a lot of doubleheaders.
Yeah. There were plenty of them. We got to do something and give AJ Hinch some credit, right?
Yeah, that team is mashing the ball.
I will now, for what he's doing as a manager with Detroit, I'm never going to look back at those Houston titles and give him a thumbs up for those.
Yeah.
But I will give him credit for what he's doing with Detroit right now. All the players that were on that team in Houston, they're all trash. But AJ Hinch, nice to see that. And Mike always told us that he was a good dude. So, yeah. You know, and he kind of felt it was one of, was it the idea that like he didn't say stop, but he also didn't say let's do this. It was more like, I don't want to know. And sometimes that can be just as bad.
In the last couple of weeks, the Tigers are 11-3. And on the pitching front, Casey Mize has just freaking taken off, man.
Pitching's important.
Absolutely. One more.
So's hitting, Kevin.
I know we are terrible at hitting. One more quick thing for you. Kyle Schwarber yesterday extended his on-base streak to 43 games with a single in the ninth inning. Do you know what the major league record is?
49.
Okay. You should know it's at least 56.
Is it Zimmer?
Because of the hitting streak.
Min? Oh, okay.
Ted Williams got on base 84 straight games.
Gotcha.
So he just passed the halfway point.
56. Oh, gotcha.
To get there.
Okay.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next.
He won't get there.
Probably. The ultimate dog segment.
Oh.
Is it time for Corey to get a new buddy? It's possible. Next on The Fan.